Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The first presidential debate was held last night in Cleveland, Ohio. Although it wasn't really a debate, it certainly wasn't presidential, and it wasn't held so much as it happened to us. I guess the only accurate part of that sentence was Cleveland, Ohio.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with journalist Brian Stelter. But first, a closer look.
Last night, we all watched it. Petulant psycho debase himself and the nation on live TV, and now his deranged sycophants are making all kinds of excuses for his performance. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. So, where to begin with that debate last night? Actually, debate is not the right word. It was more like a collective brain hemorrhage. It was like watching democracy get a lobotomy, or as CNN put it,
this was the most chaotic presidential debate I've ever seen, and I suspect most of you, if not all of you, have ever seen.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. That was the worst debate I have ever seen. In fact, it wasn't even a debate. It was a disgrace.
That was a show. And, you know, we're on cable. We can say that. Apologies for being maybe a little bit crude.
You guys are being way too charitable. Watching that debate was like hotboxing a porta potty with crystal meth in Phoenix in July. It was like being hit on the head with a lead pipe in a room filled with nitrous oxide. It was like watching a two-person performance of 12 Angry Men where one actor played one part and one was mad enough for the other 11. Also, Dana, I don't think you have to worry about being crude. Nothing you could say or do could top that debate. Wolf Blitzer could have shown up in full BDSM gear screaming the lyrics to WAP, and it still wouldn't have been the crudest thing to happen last night. It would have been the most fun thing. You know, we got a couple more debates left, Wolf. It was, to state the obvious, one of the most embarrassing debacles in American history, and I'm including Kevin Federline's performance at the 2006 Teen Choice Awards. Okay, Fed, we owe you an apology. We thought Popozal was the lowest point in American history, but that was before the president took a Popozal in the debate stage. And the debate somehow managed to top the embarrassing run-up in the days prior, during which the right-wing fever swamp belched up a bunch of insane conspiracy theories about Joe Biden, all of which found airtime on Fox News, from their morning shows to their supposed straight news anchors. Fox spent the entirety of yesterday airing one deranged claim about Biden's cognitive state after another.
The Trump team asked to inspect the ears of each debater for electronic devices or transmitters. The Biden team has not consented to that.
As far as the listening devices and the Biden campaign's response to that, I think that's interesting, and we're going to have to follow that through the day.
It's a risk to run a candidate who may be senile. The Trump campaign is convinced that Biden's staff will try to feed him lines through an earpiece.
Elderly people experiencing memory loss and the other problems associated with age can have, you know, go for periods of hours at a time and be just fine. I don't think there's any doubt Biden's senile, but that doesn't mean it's going to show up tonight.
Look, the man has dementia. There's no doubt about it. I've talked to doctors. I've had them look at 100 different tapes of his. 5 years ago and today.
The Biden people say he's fine.
He can't recite the Pledge of Allegiance and he's fine. He actually displays symptoms that two gerontologists told me are classic symptoms of middle-level dementia. I think the president is quite right to say maybe he's taken Adderall or some kind of attention deficit disorder thing. It's not just my opinion. It's the opinion of a number of doctors I've actually, interviewed.
Were they interviews or were they exams? Like, during these interviews, Rudy, were you wearing a gown that tied in the back? These interviews were so secret, they didn't want me to take notes, so they tied my hands together. But sure, Fox and Friends, take medical advice from a guy who always looks like he has electrodes attached to his testicles and makes this noise. Woo-woo. Also, Fox and Friends, what are you guys doing? A lunatic rants and raves about God knows what, and you just sit there like tourists watching a guy take a dump on the F train. Maybe this is performance art? Honey, just give me a dollar. I'm going to tip him. Also, I love this new argument Fox has, courtesy of Brit Hume, that Biden is actually secretly senile. Seems to me that if you have it together enough to hide that you're senile, you might not be senile. Pretty sure if you were suffering from dementia, it would show up at the debate. In fact, I'm pretty sure it did. Seriously, everyone who watched that debate had flashbacks to arguing with a drunk friend to hand over his car keys.
I'm not drunk.
Then tell me how many fingers I'm holding up.
Hunter Biden. Burisma.
So they tried arguing that Biden was in cognitive decline, but then it became obvious he wasn't, so they had to change tack to suggesting that maybe he's on drugs. If anyone's on drugs, it's you guys. If you tune into Fox News at any given moment, they sound like they just got done doing blow in the bathroom at CBGB. They sound like coked-up screenwriters pitching ideas. All right, so, like, what if he has, like, I don't know, a secret earpiece, right? He gets questions in advance, but he's senile, and you can't tell because he got a shot of adrenaline in his heart just like Pulp Fiction. Woo! Even Fox's supposed straight news anchors are just casually entertaining insane conspiracy theories like Biden wearing an earpiece at the debate. You'd know if Biden was wearing an earpiece because he wouldn't have the latest model. He'd have the big old clunky one with the curly wire going down the back of his shirt. And during that debate, he would have called for backup like an undercover cop at a drug bust gone bad. Oh, man, I didn't realize you fellas would have so many guns. You gotta get me out of here. Sassafras! Sassafras! But sure, let's entertain the idea that one of the candidates was on Adderall. I wonder who it was.
They will, under my proposal.
It's not what you've said, but, and it's not what your party has said.
So we have to be engaged.
That's not what they're talking about, Chris.
We have the highest trade deficit
China
with Mexico.
China ate your lunch. All right, gentlemen. China ate your lunch, Joe.
He said, maybe we should drop a nuclear weapon on them.
I never said that.
Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia. If he'd just stay out of the way. Look here.
Oh, really?
This guy.
I want to see an honest ballot cut.
He's just afraid of counting the votes because
You're wrong.
No, I want to continue with you on this, Vice President Biden.
Chris, he's so wrong when he makes a statement like that.
Oh, man, did someone switch out his can for Diet Crank? All the crank, none of the calories? I've never seen the actual redness of his face overtake his bronzer like that. Trump had so much crazy Coke energy that the moderator, Chris Wallace, literally had to yell no at him to beg him to stop interrupting.
You didn't want me to ban?
All right, gentlemen.
You would have been much later, Joe.
Mr. President,
much later.
Sir.
Chris,
you're
that was the worst
him,
part
me.
Of Obama.
Let me ask my question.
Well, I'll ask Joe.
Mr. President, stop.
Can I be honest? It's a very important question.
Try to be honest.
He stood up.
No. The answer to the question is no.
The moderator of a nationally televised debate had to treat the president like a rabid dog humping his leg. No. Bad president. Meanwhile, Biden was just standing there looking over at the camera like a grandpa on a sitcom. Oh, I can't believe my daughter married this dope. But the deranged petulance on display from Trump last night, it's not unique and it's not an aberration within the GOP or the conservative movement. Unless you let them scream uninterrupted for 90 minutes straight, they think you're out to get them. Even if you work for the same network, during the debate, Fox host Laura Ingraham tweeted, Trump is debating the moderator and Biden. I love how she calls Chris Wallace the moderator like she doesn't know him. You guys are coworkers. You get the same Fox News sweatshirts every Christmas, and your paychecks are signed by the same guy. These people are such pathetic sicko fans. Can you imagine if Ingraham moderated a debate? Mr. President, the first question is to you. How are you so good at golf? And is it hard being as strong and handsome as you are? You have 90 minutes to respond, and Mr. Biden, you can go. Not like Wallace didn't have moments of obsequiousness. Twice he teed up questions by promising the president they would make him happy.
Sir, you'll be happy. I'm about to pick up on one of your points to ask the vice president, which is he points out that you would like to add a public option to Obamacare. Mr. President, you're going to be very happy because we're now going to talk about law and order.
First of all, it's not your job to make him happy. Second of all, you're wasting your time because he's never going to be happy. If he was a children's book character, he would be an ogre who eats the happiness of children and never gets full, and then a talking butterfly would tell him, you'll never taste happiness until you face your anger, and then he'd eat the butterfly. And third of all, it's not a moderator's job to be a hostage negotiator trying to get the president to calm down during a debate. I know you're upset about protesters, so we're going to send in some sandwiches. Trump's allies just can't help but make excuses for his grotesque behavior. Even Don Jr. got in on the Wallace bashing in an interview with Sean Hannity, and Hannity said nothing.
We knew that was coming anyway with of course, Wallace. You know, I understand he's a Fox guy, but he's no conservative. He's going to be, and he's no centrist either.
I'm sorry, you think Chris Wallace is a liberal? He works for Fox News. He's not a liberal. He had the energy of an exhausted dad at Thanksgiving trying to get his burnout son to take off his headphones. Tyler, what did we say about blasting Metallica at the dinner table? No, Tyler. Stop giving me the middle finger. Oh, now it's double middle fingers. Very creative, Tyler. You know what? You're about to be very happy because I'm moving your curfew back to 3 a.m. Yet the Fox News post-debate spin was even more pathetic than all the whining about the moderator.
Trump is an apex predator. He's the Lion King. Trump went out there tonight and did what Trump does. He's the shark in the ocean, and he acted like it.
You're going to get a gladiator, warrior, fighter in Donald Trump. A guy that is going to go to battle like he has for the last 4 years.
He's a predator, gladiator, shark in the ocean. He's like a cross between He-Man, Xena Warrior Princess, and a bowl of Farina with googly eyes. And I'm sorry, you watched that debate and saw an apex predator and a gladiator warrior fighter? Because he didn't look like a predator to me. Most of the time, he stood there with his head cocked like an old dog who just heard a twig snap, held onto that podium the way my grandma holds onto her walker when they're reading the Powerball numbers. And when they weren't slobbering all over him, Fox pundits and GOP allies were pretending they watched a completely different debate altogether.
The president was so solid when he talked about the economy, when he talked about his COVID response.
That's pretty selective. That's like saying this guy nailed the approach. Yeah, I just wanted to watch it again. That's what the internet's good for, instead of everything else. Trump's incapable of talking about policy because his record is dismal and he doesn't know anything. There's a raging pandemic and economic crash and the West is on fire, and that's why he's talking about drugs and Hunter Biden and whatever other bull he and his gang of mafia bobbleheads concocted. That's all they can talk about. They have nothing else. Same reason why Trump refuses to condemn violent white supremacists and why he's lying about the safety of mail balloting. His only chance of remaining in power is to undermine the election and threaten violence if he loses. He doesn't want to win the election. He wants to destroy the election just like he destroyed the debate. Last night, he was given the opportunity to denounce violent white supremacist militias and told them to stand by, and then later urged his supporters to go to the polls and physically intimidate voters.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing
to specifically
do, that, but
do it?
Well, I, go would ahead, say, sir. I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see
peace.
Then
do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and right
wing. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right wing.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully because that's what has to happen. I am urging them to do it.
They literally told him, do it, condemn them, and he still wouldn't. The best he could muster was, sure, I'll condemn them before refusing to condemn them. That's the way you respond when you are offered a hors d'oeuvre at a party. Sure, I'll take a crab puff. Then you spit in a napkin and throw it away. There was crab in that. And then to follow that up by telling your supporters, which would include those violent right-wing militias, to intimidate people at the polls is just chilling. Let's remember, we've already seen armed right-wing militias roaming the streets of Louisville and Wisconsin, and now violent far-right groups like the Proud Boys are celebrating Trump's call out of the debate. If you were to sum up the state of our democracy right now, I think you'd have to say that it's a
show. And, you know, we're on cable. We can say that. Apologies for being maybe a little bit crude.
Dana, my word! And if you're wondering what sort of defense Trump allies could possibly mount of those horrific comments, here's Rick Santorum, who for some reason is still a CNN commentator doing his level worst.
He was asking the president to do something that he knows the president doesn't like to do.
Which is?
Which is say something bad about people who support him, right?
What, declining and, violence?
Talking about
the white supremacists.
Yeah, the white supremacists.
That's your defense. So I guess by that same token, Trump would accept an endorsement from ISIS if they praised him. If they were smart, they'd start waving Trump flags from the back of their trucks.
So I guess, you know, long live the caliphate is kind of my current position.
The president's performance at last night's debate was truly one of the most embarrassing debacles in American history. Trump debased himself and the nation, and then his wormy supporters slinked to his defense. Trump's behavior last night was perfectly emblematic of the modern GOP. Right-wing media and the conservative movement. The Republican mascot shouldn't be an elephant. It should be a possum being cornered in a garage by a rake. They're all like this, deranged, petulant children, constantly aggrieved, making excuses. We got a close-up look at just how odious and grotesque the president is. His only goals are chaos and nihilism. He thinks that's the path to power. And now it's up to us to show him he's wrong and restore our democracy by voting in overwhelming numbers to repudiate him and everything he stands for. Because right now, our democracy is a
hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
This has been A Closer Look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Our guest is CNN's chief media correspondent and the anchor of the network's show Reliable Sources. His best-selling book, Hoax, Donald Trump, Fox News, and the Dangerous Distortion of Truth is out now. Please welcome to the show, Brian Stelter. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Hello. Thank you. Good to see you.
An incredible restraint to not be doing this in front of a bookshelf that has your new book. I tip my cap.
I don't have any books left, Seth. They're too popular.
Oh, wow. Nice. Well, very nice play on that one. So, this is a book about Fox News. One of the people you cover in the book, among many, is Chris Wallace, the moderator of last night's debate, who went into it saying that he wanted to be invisible. That does not strike me as the case here, as we're coming up on a day later. How do you think he performed last night? In, obviously, to give him, some credit, a very chaotic night.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you ever want to moderate a debate with Donald Trump? I don't think I would ever want to do it. It's a very, very difficult mission. So you've got to have some sympathy for Chris Wallace. But, you know, he gave an interview to the New York Times today where he said he never dreamt that it would go off the rails this way. He never dreamt that Trump's strategy would be to just interrupt constantly and throw everything off. Well, here's the problem, Seth. A failure of imagination has been a big problem for the past 5 years. A lot of people didn't imagine that Trump could get elected. And a lot of people didn't imagine that he would go into office and try to break all the glass and blow up the institutions of the country. We need to make sure we don't have any more failures of imagination right now. This was predictable.
I do appreciate his honesty in saying he didn't see it coming. But even if he did see it coming, what do you do in that situation? And, you know, even now we have, you know, the debate commission saying they're going to change the rules. But I can't imagine they're going to change it in a way that'll stop Donald Trump from blowing up whatever standards they set for any debates. I mean, is there a way to have a normal debate when one half of the debaters is Donald Trump?
Well, that's the thing. Even if they cut off his microphone in future debates, which is definitely being talked about by the commission now. Even if they cut off his microphone so that the viewers can't hear him, Joe Biden can still hear him. The moderator can still hear him. So even cutting off the microphone is not going to be enough to moderate or control this situation. But here's why I think the next debate will be different. It's going to be a town hall in front of normal people asking average American questions. So maybe he won't feel like he can be as much of a, I mean, you used a lot of words earlier, rabid dog, you know, maybe you'll feel like he can't do that when he's in a town hall format.
How dare you put my words in my mouth?
Imagine.
I'm glad you said that about cutting off the mics because, you know, working in TV, you know this. Again, if they cut off his mic, not only the point you made is true, that, you know, Biden will still hear him, you'll still be able to hear him a little bit through Biden's mic, and it will be more distracting than it would be hearing the words he's saying. So I hope that's not their plan because that is a bad plan. You talk about in this book as well how influenced Donald Trump is by Fox News. What elements of that did you see clearly on display last night?
All the Hunter Biden references, Trump's weird reference to where Biden went to college in Delaware. It's all these right-wing memes that get into Trump's diet through Fox News. Fox is like the beating heart of the right-wing media world. And then what comes out of that heart, whether it's blood or something else, it gets pumped all throughout the right-wing body. So, you know, sometimes stuff starts on Fox. Other times it starts in the fever swamps of the internet and gets on to Fox and Friends. But the point is, Trump gets to it via Fox. So Fox is like the delivery device for this poisoned information. And frankly, that is what is so disturbing to me as a media reporter. You know, I look at Trump through a Fox News prism. So he is getting a poisoned information diet. And when he's out there screaming about Hunter Biden on stage, well, he's proving my point.
A lot of people you sort of saw on social media throughout the debate last night were saying, I can't handle this, I'm tuning out, this is too toxic. You not only watched the debate last night, but you, for your book, you've sort of watched Fox News more than is maybe a healthy amount. Did you find it hard to watch it day in and day out?
That's funny. I watch it a lot like President Trump. I have the volume off. I watch it via fast forwarding. I'll fast forward through shows just so I can at least see what's on the banner, see what they're saying. Because I don't think you can understand America without understanding Fox right now. It is an alternative reality where New York City, a place I love, is a hellhole, a disaster zone. It's so unhinged from reality. But if you don't know what your grandfather or your grandmother is hearing on Fox, then you can't possibly have a reasonable conversation. So I did watch too much Fox for the book, mostly muted. And here's the funny thing at home. I don't know how this works, Seth. My wife would always know when I had Fox with the volume up. Whenever I turned the volume up, she somehow could tell that it wasn't CNN or MSNBC. It was like she had a sixth sense for Fox. And of course, she wanted me to mute it. But I told her I was working. I told her I had to work.
Well, one thing she might have heard on Fox News that you don't hear on the other cable news channel is Fox News personalities complaining about you by name. you come up a lot. How does it feel to be a cable news reporter who is, you know, basically being dragged by the cable news reporters on another network?
Right, I'm one of their hate objects, and we just have to view it the way it is. Let's call it what it is. Trump is leading a hate movement against the media, and he has a bunch of hate objects, and Fox picks up on those and runs with those. But it is so surreal, Seth, when you're watching Sean Hannity's show and all of a sudden he's calling you Humpty Dumpty and he's using a funny picture on TV. Like that never gets old. That's always weird. And it's weird for me because Hannity used to be really friendly with me. He gave me great advice when I went into CNN. Like, you know, he used to be almost a mentor of sorts. Tucker Carlson, too. He donated money when I was a blogger. So to have these relationships with these guys and then to see them fall so far down the Trump rabbit hole, it really is surreal. You know, Tucker called me a eunuch once, and I had to Google that word, and I wish I hadn't learned what it meant. But now every day I get tweets from people calling me those insults, and it really does speak to how, you know, this information war is waged. Like, I think it's mostly funny, and I don't really care that they call me Humpty Dumpty, and I know that I've got a bald, you know, head. But it does show how the information war is waged when all these trolls pile on and use the nicknames that Fox comes up with. You know what I mean?
You also, one of the things you uncover in the book is that behind the scenes, you have sources that tell you that Sean Hannity also thinks the president is crazy, that a lot of people who work there would, if it was off the record, agree with your and my assessment of him. What is your takeaway from that?
That's why I wanted to write Hoax, is because so many people at Fox are hypocritical right now. There are so many sources at the bottom and at the top in management who are concerned about Trump, who say he's like a madman. And they know because he's calling their stars. He's calling Hannity all the time. Hannity says to his own friends, Trump is crazy. He's acting like a crazy person. And yet Hannity never reflects that reality on television. So there's an utter hypocrisy that has to be exposed. Even White House aides feel this way. Hope Hicks has said to people, I wish Trump wouldn't talk so much about Fox. I wish he wouldn't watch so much Fox. Well, you know, this is the reality of the situation. We have to face it head on. I know there's lots of people that say we need to fact check more, and that's true. The press needs to fact check. The Republicans need to stand up to Trump. There's all these people make excuses and say that other institutions need to take action. Well, you know what? The problem, the root problem, is the president. And yes, fact checking can help. And yes, other things can help. But, you know, as I write in the book, like when grandpa is sick, when you have a loved one who is sick, the entire family suffers. And I had people at Fox News say to me, is that what's going on, Brian? Is that what's going on? And they are wondering the same things that lots of other people are wondering. The difference is that when you work for Fox, you're afraid to say it out loud on the record because it's going to piss off the audience.
Well, congrats on the book. It is a very nice historical record. I look forward to when it is a historical record because that will mean we're in the future and not the present. Thank you so much for being here. Hoax is available now.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.